Gee, it must be one of those Holy Spirit moments. You know, God knows that deep down Andrew must really love glitter.
Loves glitter.
But you know, these are the sort of things that happen when you turn 50. You buy glittery butterfly cards. So get ready for that, Andrew. Okay, so I just want to pray if that's all right.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of stuff here. We're not going to get through all of it, obviously, but we'll give it a shot. But let's just pray and ask God for whatever is on His heart.
Amen.
Would be what comes through this morning.
Yes,
amen. So Heavenly Father, we just give You thanks and praise, Lord. We thank You for Your presence in this house this morning. And Lord, we've already, Lord, just seen so much of Your sovereignty, Lord God, in our midst this morning. And we thank You, Father God, that it is Your desire to touch the hearts of Your people. Father God, to bring release, to bring freedom, to bring healing. Lord God, whatever it is that You want to do, Father, we ask that You would have Your way this morning through my words, Lord God, and that they would not be my words, but they would be Your words, Your heart.
Yes,
Lord God, reaching to Your people this morning, in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
So, I thought this morning I would, the topic I picked is what I call building resilience through grace.
Right.
Does anyone know what resilience is?
Mm.
Does anyone not know what resilience is? Okay, so resilience is it's kind of us building ourselves up, kind of like strengthening ourselves to be able to withstand difficulties and challenges and stuff like that in life. Cool?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we know that who here is saved? Who's a Christian in this house?
No.
Oh, if you didn't put their hands up that I thought were. Interesting. Okay. So we know that if you're a Christian in this place, you know that you know the character of God, you know who He is, and you know that in His Word, we learn about how God makes plans. Amen?
Yeah.
He sets and makes plans for us, and He prepares for us. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So there's one thing He's planned. 1 Corinthians 2:9, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him."
Yeah. Mm.
How cool is that?
Come on.
Right.
He's pretty busy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future."
Right.
So we know we serve an awesome God, and His plans for us are good. But hands up if you know that there's also a devil who's got some plans for us as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell it.
Yes. Mm. John 10:10, Jesus tells us that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. How nasty is that? He also tells us that He has come that we may have life and have it to the full. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep.
And in Romans 5:17, "For if by the trespass of the one man death reigns through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and all the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" So what is it saying? It's telling us that okay, yeah, the devil's got some plans as well, but how much greater is our God? And His plans are greater. Amen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who believes that?
Yeah. I do.
Come on.
So according to God's word, we're meant to reign in life. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
When we receive God's abundant grace and His righteousness, we are meant to reign. We are called heirs. Yeah?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Come on.
So who feels like that this morning? Who feels like they're raining? A couple of people. Not very many.
The rain is raining.
And in Galatians 4:6 says, because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts.
Yeah.
The spirit who calls out Abba Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child.
Right.
And since you are his child,
yeah,
God has made you also an heir.
Amen.
But just as we've seen this morning, we don't always feel that way, do we?
No.
We don't always feel like heirs. We don't always feel like we're reigning. So why is this? Why do we struggle to accept and to walk into what God has declared over us? And who knows that there's power in the Word of God, and that,
come on,
his Word never returns void.
Amen.
But the devil wants to keep us in a perpetual state of weakness, struggle, and defeat. He does not want us to step into what God has prepared for us. In fact, he's been at it since we were born. So as much as, you know, God has these plans and he's spoken these things over us, the devil's plans have been there, and they've been there. He's been at it, at us. And his aim is to keep us as far away from God as he possibly can.
Yeah.
And so what is it that, you know, when we're born again, we're saved, we understand these things, that we, you know, our sins are forgiven, we're made righteous through him, we live by grace, we're no longer living according to our sinful nature. Well, God doesn't see us in that way. He sees us as righteous. And yet somehow we continue to struggle in that. We continue to fight. We continue to kind of go back and forth between knowing that truth and struggling with walking in it.
Yeah.
Is everyone
true
with me?
Yeah.
Does
yeah,
everyone
absolutely
feel that
yeah
way
well
sometimes?
Yeah.
I know I do.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely I do. Galatians 4:9 in the Amplified Version says this. Now, however, since you have come to know the true God through personal experience, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you are turning back again to the weak and worthless elemental principles of religions and philosophies to which you want to be enslaved all over again?
Mm.
So each time we think of ourselves as being not good enough, not worthy, whatever that might be, we enslave ourselves again. We kind of say, well, you know, yeah, look, I know God's amazing, but I'm not right.
Yeah.
And I need to fix that. So we put ourselves back into a place of slavery.
Yeah,
that's right.
Anyone relate to that?
Yeah.
How are we going?
Good, good.
Yeah. Come on.
I've got to do the check-in. That's the counselor thing, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm watching very closely and observing everyone's faces here. So why do we continue to struggle with this? If when we are born again, we receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness through the forgiveness of sins, we are made righteous through him. Romans 6:18 says that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. So what is it? What's the problem, guys? What's wrong with us? Why do we struggle with this thing? Why do we keep putting ourselves back into slavery? You know, it's like this, it's like we get saved, we turn our eyes toward him, we receive salvation, we receive forgiveness, we receive grace, we're made right with him. And then we turn around. And we go, yeah, but I've got to fix this, and this is wrong, and that's wrong, and put ourselves back into a position of slavery. So what I call building resilience through grace It's kind of like a bit of an integration between psychology and theology or spirituality, which is the Word of God. So bear with me for a minute. We're going to look a little bit at psychology. Is that all right?
Sounds good.
Is everyone cool with that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Won't get too heavy.
Come on.
By the way, I'm excited to have the beautiful Andrews girls here today. Talisha and Talisha's beautiful mum, Marie, my beautiful friend. And Kathy Andrews, her mum, gorgeous woman. And Kathy is married to Dr. Ray Andrews, who is an amazing psychologist who I admire and adore. So, yeah, so I do, as you all know, it's something that I very much believe in. However, psychology in all its infinite wisdom has come up with some theories. And one of those, it's what is, what, you know, like I giggle sometimes at psychology because it's like, wow, you know that God had that figured out thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
It's taken you all this long. All this research and study, you know? It's really quite funny. But anyway, so one of the theories is what is known as the window of tolerance. Has anyone ever heard of the window of tolerance? Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to have a quick look at the window of tolerance. There it is. So what that represents there is a window, and in that middle section where the squiggly lines are, that's your window. And within those two lines, some of us, you know, have a wider window than others, some of us have a much narrower window than others. And that window represents our ability to regulate our emotions, which means that feelings and responses are manageable and do not prevent thinking. So we're able to kind of, you know, manage our emotions, respond appropriately, and we can kind of think fairly clearly in any situation. You with me?
Yeah.
So this is what I call the window of grace. I'd love to see Jesus' window of grace. I reckon that would be rather massive. But if we look just above the window, there's just above where we kind of, where the window finishes, it sort of peeks into what's known as hyperarousal. So depending on how small or wide our window of tolerance is, when we come outside of that window, we either go up or we go down. So hyper is things like panicking. We can be impulsive. We can say things just without thinking. Fight or flight. Does anyone know the fight or flight stage? Yep. We can become hypervigilant. Almost a little bit paranoid about what people are saying. You know, we can become angry, agitated. Or we freeze. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Down the other end is what's known as hypoarousal, which is, you know, just coming into that, becoming numb, basically. And we just submit, desensitization, which we become desensitized. We have poor self-care, poor self-worth, poor self-esteem, poor boundaries, and sometimes we can just shut down or isolate. So as people living in the Western world, we have a very small window of tolerance, I'm sad to say. So anyone that lives in, you know, in the Western society, our psychologists are telling us through their research that for the majority of us, we have a very small window of tolerance. you know, some of the reasons for that is that we've become accustomed to having things when we want them. We become aggro if we don't get what we want. If we're made to step outside our comfort zone, we believe that we have rights and we are entitled to enforce our rights. Now, this is just general Western society, okay? So basically, when we're left to our own human devices, we lack wisdom, grace, and self-discipline. Right. And more so in our part of the world because, well, quite frankly, we're pretty spoiled compared to a lot of other places in the world. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.
That's right.
Come on.
It's good, man. Mm.
And so we can either become hyper or hypo, and our window of tolerance is really quite small. When we're walking with Jesus, we have a revelation and an understanding of his grace, and we walk in that grace and we do life with him and we walk closely with him. We're living inside of our window of tolerance.
Beautiful.
And that window can get bigger. The more we walk in that grace, the more we walk in his strength, the bigger that window becomes.
Beautiful.
Cool?
Very good. Great.
But, you know, unfortunately, for us here in the church, we've been affected by this Western society. Would anyone agree?
Come on.
Yeah.
So some of us can become quite hyper if we have to sit through more than one set of traffic lights. It's really quite sad, isn't it? Or we have to wait 5 minutes longer than the expected 45 minutes for our pizza to be delivered.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Does anyone get frustrated with that?
Oh, yeah.
I know our family does when they're all hungry and we're waiting. We get aggro and we ring up, "Here's my pizza. Should have been here 5 minutes ago." And then we expect it for free because it didn't come on time. Or we can become hypo-aroused, which is down the bottom, when someone says something that offends us or hurts us. When we experience disappointment or failure, we can become depressed and want to isolate or just give up. Has anyone here felt that?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Yep.
Just me? A few people? You know, we can, you know, some of us come to that place of thinking, well, people are just too hard work, relationships are too hard. The church thing is too hard. I'm getting out of here, it's too hard. So we step outside of our window of tolerance, and the resilience and the strength that we have through the grace of God, and we start to look at ourselves. How are we going?
It's good.
Are you all right?
Good.
So we find it difficult to regulate our emotions. Emotional regulation is a whole other thing that, you know, for another time. But the absence of God in our everyday lives leads to a greater awareness of self. I'll just read that again. So the absence of God in our everyday lives leads to a greater awareness of self.
Wow.
Who knows what a greater awareness of self means?
It's general.
Some hands going up. So our shortfalls, our weaknesses, our sin, etc., etc. That becomes more of an awareness to us. So such things as human limitation, sin, condemnation, reliance on self that is unsure of its own identity, that's somehow meant to determine who we are, who we should be, what we should look like.
Yeah.
Sadly, this is also the case for many of us Christians as well.
Yeah. Great.
So we expend much of our energy on things such as acceptance, trying to belong, being liked, and invest a lot of our energy in trying to prove ourselves or criticizing others or judging others. So when we become more self-aware, two things can happen. We can either become very self-judgmental or others judgmental.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Come on.
So sometimes, we'll invest our time in things like trying to prove ourselves. And judging others, criticizing others, judging the church, everything that's wrong with the church, and what needs to be fixed. How are we going?
Come on.
Please know this is not directed at anybody, it's very indirect, but this is all about building, preparing our resilience through grace.
Yeah.
And the more we are aware of this, and the more we focus on doing this, the less we are likely to become enslaved again. Okay, where am I? Being a throwaway society, it's like, well, I don't like this. This is not good. I'm not enjoying this. I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave the relationship. I'm going to leave the job. I'm going to leave the friendship. I'm going to leave the church. I've actually got so many more to choose from. So many more people. So many more. Whatever. But how is this going to build our resilience? When we walk away, we give up, and we make it all about self. How is this going to build our resilience? And this attitude is not unlike much of what's happening out in the world. And sometimes as Christians we have to be careful that we do not become tarnished with some of that. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Who loves Google?
Yeah.
We all love Google. The world loves Google. And sometimes the thing that we can fall into is that we Google and we get stuff and then we think we know everything, right?
Yeah. That's right.
And, we begin to sort of, we think we know everything, we begin to judge what everyone else is doing and we think we need to fix everybody or fix ourselves. So that's the result of being self-focused or having an awareness of self. How are you going?
It's good.
So it's important for us to be aware of this and to not get stuck in this self-fix-it mentality or others-fix-it mentality. Because quite often what we do is when we do this to God, it's like, okay, God, I just need to go and fix everything now. I know what I've got to do. Thank you, you're lovely, but I just need to go and do what I need to do right now.
Yeah.
I need to fix this and fix that and make sure that, Pastor Andrew knows that that's really not right and we need to fix that and, I need to tell that person they need to sort themselves out and get themselves, are you with me?
Yeah.
And it's horrible, but that's the human nature left to itself. That's it. Pretty sad, huh? Praise God that he sent his son to die for us, so we don't have to live in that miserable self thing anymore. And we understand, we have a revelation of God's grace. When God is present in our lives, we find our identity in him. And we also recognize that others have an identity in him as well. So we see ourselves differently and we see others differently.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm just about out of time, but I just wanted to look at five ways in which we can build resilience according to a psychologist. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And I'm going to read them out, but I'm going to give a scripture to each one of them, and there's many scriptures that can be used in response to this, but just another example of how psychology often is information that has all come from God in any case, and how we can apply so much of that through Scripture. Cool?
Very good.
All right, so there's quite a number of things. I'm just going to mention five. So their first one, they suggest that it's important to get enough sleep and exercise and learn to manage stress. Okay?
Yeah.
That's one way of building resilience. So there's so many scriptures that we could use here, but I've just used 1 Corinthians 6:19, which talks about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we need to look after our bodies. Yeah?
Yeah.
So straight out of the Word of God, looking after our bodies is getting enough sleep, exercise, managing stress. Yeah?
Good.
Yeah.
Right.
Number two, practice thought awareness. So practice thought awareness, okay? Being aware of your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
Awesome.
So that's practicing thought awareness. So being aware of our thoughts, not just taking every single thing in but actually making our thoughts accountable and being aware of what we're thinking. Because what we think has a huge impact on everything that makes up who we are. I won't go into that. Number three, practicing cognitive restructuring to change the way you look and think about negative situations and bad events. Often referred to as CBT, psychology. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Beautiful.
Then you will be able to test and approve that God, what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Awesome.
So what it's saying is cognitive restructuring is transforming, renewing the mind. Yep?
Good job.
How
are
we going?
Very good.
Very good.
Is this
come
any
on.
Good?
Yeah, come on.
Number four, learn from your mistakes and failures. Oh, does anyone here make mistakes?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Come on.
Does anyone here fail? You know, the beautiful thing is God doesn't see us. He doesn't see our mistakes.
True.
He doesn't see our failures. He just thinks we're awesome. Isn't that good?
Beautiful.
I know I'm really grateful because I'd be in a lot of trouble otherwise. Especially after I turned 50, actually.
Oh.
Just kidding. So, learn from mistakes and failures. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
That's right.
Right.
Number five, choose your response. And this is where the window of tolerance comes in. Our feelings, our responses, being manageable. How are they manageable? By the grace of God. Amen.
Right.
Beautiful.
2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline.
Beautiful.
So that window, what's known as the optimum arousal, represents, as I mentioned earlier, living by grace. And in that, there is so much to that. There is so, so, so much. But a big part of that I see is living by the grace and the fruit of the Spirit.
Beautiful.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So we build our resilience through grace. Amen?
Beautiful.
And, you know, my prayer for everyone in this place this morning is that we can all be working toward building our resilience by grace. Resilience to cope with just about any situation in life. And, you know, it was beautiful to hear our beautiful Tash testifying to what she's been through.
Yeah.
And I know many of us, you know, watched her in that journey, and it was a tough journey.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't in her shoes, but to us it looked really tough.
Yeah.
And yet there was such an incredible strength in her. Not like, you know, strength in her. It was hard for her, but the strength was the resilience that she had built through the grace of God,
yeah,
and the fruits of the Spirit, and understanding that in our own strength we can carry nothing, we can do nothing, we can achieve very little. Left to our demise, as we've seen earlier, you know, our human nature isn't very pretty, and it doesn't cope very well at all. So it's beautiful to see and hear a testimony such as that of Tasha's. Amen.
Yes. Beautiful. Absolutely.
I just want to read out one thing. Is that okay? I know we've gone a little bit over. Just something that, who knows Brennan Manning? Anyone heard of Brennan Manning? One person. Beautiful minister of the word and evangelist. He puts it like this, that when we accept ourselves for what we are, we decrease our hunger for power or the acceptance of others, because our self-intimacy reinforces our inner sense of security. We are no longer preoccupied with being powerful or popular, and this could be referred to in anything outside of that window of tolerance, yeah? We no longer fear criticism because we accept the reality of our human limitations and are less often plagued with the desire to please others, because simply being true to ourselves brings everlasting peace. Don't you love that?
Yeah.
Or is it just me?
It's good.
I love that. I think it's awesome. Okay, well, maybe Pastor Andrew might let me do a part two, because I feel like I'm leaving it all a little bit up in the air. But hey, I'm going to ask you all to stand with me this morning. You've been great, guys. This sort of stuff can be a little bit intense. So let's just have a bit of a shake off. I'm going to pray in a minute, but just one thing that we like to do here at Bay City is just give, you know, anyone here an opportunity, anyone who doesn't know Jesus, who doesn't understand that grace that I mentioned, that walking in that resilience that I talked about, which comes from the grace of God. And if you're in this house this morning and you don't know him, you don't know of him, or you don't know of that grace, we just want to give you an opportunity to come and meet him, and to get to know him, and to invite him into your life this morning. And also, if you're here and you do know him, but you kind of feel like you've been a bit far away, you've done the turn the back thing, and you'd like to turn back around and come back and recommit your life to him, we want to give you an opportunity also this morning, just to reconnect with your God, with your Savior. So I'm just going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Is that okay? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you have given me the gift of salvation. And this morning I want to take up that gift, and I want to give my life to you. I want to invite you into my heart. I repent of my sins. I repent of my just independence of you. And I ask you to come into my heart. anyone here's prayed that prayer for the first time, can I just ask you to raise your hand, please? Just by everyone's eyes closed. Thank you. One beautiful woman over here. Anyone else? Or anyone pray that prayer as a rededication this morning? I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand. I'm not going to get you out here or embarrass you or anything like that. It's between you and God. Just lift your hand this morning and declare your love and recommitment to Jesus right in this moment. Thank you for your gift of grace. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would help us to accept that grace each and every day as we do this journey with you, Lord God. We thank you that we do not have to rely on ourselves. We do not have to worry about, what we need to fix or what others need to fix. But we can just completely trust you and focus on you and know that we are totally and fully acceptable just as we are. We come to you just as we are, and that you accept us just as we are. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, as we continue our journey with you, that you would, Lord, just help us and lead us and direct us by your Holy Spirit, Lord God, toward that grace each and every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome, guys. Thank you for being here. Don't forget, we've got tea and coffee. Just down the cafe, please hang around and have some of that. And don't forget Pastor Andrew's birthday on Tuesday. He's turning 50. Just in case you forgot. Yep, the big 5-0. So don't forget to wish him a happy birthday. Awesome. God bless you all.